This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled What the Devil Meant for Harm, was delivered on May 31st, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
For those of you who are at home, man, there is like a cool, refreshing breeze coming through. It's like the refreshing of the Holy Spirit coming in and blowing on all of us. And it's cooling us off and we're just so thankful to all of you. I know I've seen Michael log in, and Marsha, and Joe, all you guys, Linda and Sunny Santiago, I see you guys logged in. Good to see all of you guys. And we're going to be getting ready to open up next week, but we're going to announce that in a bit. But we're going to do our tithes and offering. And our tithes and offering is changed dramatically, yeah? We ask that you still continue to give online, you know, at text NHHI to 808-793-5588, or you can go to our website, newhopeeasthawaii.com, and on the blue bar on the top, it says online giving. You can click on that. It'll take you straight to this, or you can mail your payments to HCR 2 Box 6617 KL Hawaii 96749. And for those of you who are here, we're not passing buckets anymore because, you know, I touch it, then you touch it, then Shelby touches it, and Pastor Aaron touches it. And the last person going to get all of our germs combined. Oh, how potent is that? Might turn you into a pastor, watch out. But so we're going to we have a, you know, the blue acrylic box that was used for prayer requests. We're going to set it on the back where the coffee used to be, and you're going to have to just walk up and drop it in there. So by the time I get to it on Monday, all the germs would have died anyway. So that'd be good. So that's how we're going to be collecting it here. And then there is a whole bunch of things that we got to abide by for us to reopen. And then here are the guidelines. Okay? Masks should be worn at all times. So yeah, I feel like I'm a flight attendant. Okay, except for those who are singing, speaking, because it might be hard for you to hear them. Hand sanitizer is provided for when you come in and when you go out. And if you forget your mask, we have extras, okay? So if you forget your mask, don't turn around. Just come in and say, you know what, I forgot my mask. And it's only $10 a mask. No, just kidding. Just kidding. They're free. So just come on in, grab a mask. Okay, hopefully we can get my wife, Christy, and Marsha, and some other nurses in this church to help us with temperature checks when you come in. I know if you're standing out in the sun and you may pop in, we might shoot your temperature and you might be hot because you were standing in the sun. Or if you came out of your car, because I know I hugged some of you, and when your cheek touches my face, it's like, oh, it's cold. And you came out of the air conditioning and we're going to shoot your temperature and it's going to say dead because you're too cold. So maybe we're going to just have you stay on the side, acclimate, take your temperature. And if it's out of the range, which I believe is 100.4, I think it's something around there, we're going to kindly ask for the safety of our members and yourself that you would watch from home. Okay? Families can sit together. We have a bunch of picnic tables that you guys, the families can sit on, or they can sit on the chairs. We took out every other row in the church, so families can sit together. Other than that, we ask that you sit 6 feet apart. Hopefully, we don't get 500 people show up then we're going to have to quickly move it into the gym and put everybody in a circle in one hula hoop 6 feet apart. So if you have traveled internationally, domestically, inter-island, or had visitors from any of these destinations within the last 14 days, we ask for the health and the safety of others that you would remain at home, watch on Facebook Live, or in the afternoon you can catch the audio version on our New Hope East Hawaii website. Okay? If you have any signs, symptoms, respiratory infections, fever, cough, sore throat, We ask that for the health and safety of others that you remain at home and watch our service or listen online. Okay, so we need to do these things in order for us to reopen. And I know not everybody has Facebook or not everybody can listen online. So can you start calling your person who you normally sit next to, you know, and let them know that, hey, we're starting up next week, Sunday, June 7th. All right? You got that? Okay. You got that. Okay. And then men's ministry, we're going to start up on June 13th. Okay. We're going to set it up differently. We're going to have Pastor Dennis come on stage with the TV, and we're going to have all of the men sit 6 feet apart. We're figuring out the food. I think I'm going to need some help. I think we're going to cook. We're going to make like breakfast bentos, package it, and put a fork wrapped in a nap and a plastic so you guys can sit down and eat while you watch. We do want to serve coffee, but in order for us to serve coffee, we need like two people who can volunteer, who can come in, clean up, sanitize, mask yourself, and just they're going to have to make the coffee and they lay it out on the table so you guys can come get it. Two people who are clean and holy. Yeah? And I know this church is filled with clean and holy. So if I cannot get two volunteers to do that, then I'll bring your own coffee. And if you're safer, if you bring your own coffee anyway, bring your own coffee, bring your own bottle of water, because we got to minimize the contact of what we touch. You know, like we touch the water jug, the kids, and then they touch the water jug, and, you know, I dig my nose and I make your coffee. We got to minimize a lot of that, yeah, because the last thing we want is a spike in COVID-19 cases that came from the church, right? I mean, it can come from the nightclub and everything in order. The news not going to say nothing. But once it comes to the church, bang, the news just is going to blow it up and nobody's going to like the church anymore. So we're protecting the church. Well, actually, God protects the church, but we're trying to keep all of you safe. Amen? So that's how it's going to be moving forward. We can do this. We can adjust to it, and we can squash this thing, and we can move forward. Amen? Okay, we're ready. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that our mayor has given the okay for churches to reopen starting tomorrow. So hopefully we can get small groups going, Bible studies going, leadership classes going, Sunday services going, and that we can continue to just spread your word. We love you and we thank you that we get to do this. Lord, I pray that today's message would reach those who are out there and even beyond, for those who are even on the mainland who used to come here or family and friends that we can share this with. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing. Right now, we cannot do Sunday school yet, so your children are going to sit with you. But we're going to have a clipboard with some activities so that they can quietly do their activities while they sit with you. All right? I hope. And like I said, we're trying to do this the best we can. As soon as we get better ideas, or I'm sure as we go on week to week, we will improve and get better at it. But in the meantime, just have grace. But the worship was just fantastic this morning. I wish you guys could have been there just to have live worship. It was just so, so beautiful. And now that we're doing the Facebook Live and live service, I guess I'm going to have to grow roots now and stay in one place. I cannot walk to the left or walk. I can walk. The farthest I can walk is this way, because that's when I go out of the camera and I can go back. But because I walk, because it helps me to disperse the nervous energy. That's why I move around a lot. Whew. Okay, so today's message, what the devil meant for harm. Here to stay is this virus. I'm not sure if it's ever going to go away. You know, like the flu or the cold, we just have to learn to adapt and live with it. Moving forward, how are we going to live with this COVID-19? What will our new normal be? Are we going to live cautiously or in fear or both? We have to spend the rest of our public lives wearing masks. Oh my gosh, you know, you go into the store and you don't know if somebody's smiling at you or they're sticking tongue at you or they're blowing you a kiss under that mask. You cannot tell. You know, it's like so weird because you look at facial expressions. I do a lot. And, you know, like if somebody smiles at me, of course I smile back. But you cannot tell if somebody's smiling at you because of... Maybe we should have clear masks. No, then we'd see all the spit stuck on the front. That's not good. But, you know, are we going to have to spend our public lives, the rest of our public life, wearing masks, sitting 6 feet apart? I mean, this, and no hugging? Seriously? I mean, this hugging is part of our Hawaii culture, and I hope that we don't have to do that. And the thing is, the devil is always on the prowl looking for ways to discourage us, to turn our faith into fear. He's sly and cunning, and he will use anything and anyone he can to get his job done. Today we're going to look at some of the examples of the things that the devil did in the Bible and the things that when he really wanted to destroy and do harm. And the first one we're going to look at is Joseph. Now Joseph, I think Joseph, if you read his story, he had every reason to be bitter, to hold a grudge, to get revenge. And he even was in a place to do it. But when he was a young boy, he had dreams. And his brothers didn't like him for two reasons. In his dreams, his brothers were bowing down to him, and even his parents. And for another reason, he wasn't liked by his brothers because he was his dad's favorite. One day, his brothers decided, man, let's get rid of him. Let's kill him. And who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? That's the devil. But he was using Joseph's own brothers to carry out his plan. So you can see that the devil used jealousy to do this. Well, his brothers did not end up killing him, but instead they sold him into slavery, into a traveling caravan that was coming by, that they were headed to Egypt. So they sold him to these guys. And once they reached Egypt, they sold Joseph to this man named Potiphar. You can imagine back in the day, pretty crazy, yeah? If somebody was to just grab you and take you unwillingly and sell you to somebody else. I mean, how would that be how would that be legal? Right? It's like, wow. And so Potiphar, he was a pretty powerful guy. He noticed that everything that Joseph did prospered. So being the wise person Potiphar was, he put Joseph in charge of his whole household. Now Joseph was successful. He was doing well, even though he's not at home. He's in a foreign country. He's working for somebody else, but he's given a lot of freedom and a lot of power. Now, he's successful, but now Potiphar's wife, she kind of has eyes for Joseph. But Joseph would not have nothing to do with it because he respects his master, Potiphar. And so now the devil uses Potiphar's wife and her lust to accuse him of rape. So now Joseph, innocent from the time he got sold into slavery, now he is thrown in jail. I guess what she said goes, because there was not no trial that I heard of. So he is thrown in jail for an accusation which was not true. And in jail, the jailer knows that Joseph has great character and everything he does succeeds. So he puts him in charge of a whole bunch of things. And in prison, he interprets dreams. So time passes by. He is still in jail. I don't know how many years he was in jail. Pharaoh has dreams, and no one can interpret them. And then someone remembers, hey, that guy in jail, the guy I was locked up with. So the Pharaoh calls Joseph. Joseph called him out of jail. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And now, because of that, Pharaoh makes Joseph second in charge of the country. Only Pharaoh is above him. Now, he did a good thing with this, yeah? And Pharaoh puts him in charge. And the devil was constantly trying to kill, steal, and destroy in the life of Joseph. But because Joseph was to interpret these dreams, you know, a lot of things happened. So here's the first point. Number one, are you going to let the devil have his way? Yeah, because if you look at the life of Joseph, you know, he could have easily let the devil have his way in his life. You kind of think about it, if you was in Joseph's situation, you had a right to be angry. You had a right to be bitter. You had a right to exact revenge on his brothers and Potiphar's wife and all that went on. Genesis 50, 20, when Joseph is reunited with his brothers, you know, he had the power to really destroy them, really unleash wrath on them. I mean, some of you think about it, man, you wish you was in that position to unleash wrath. It would be like so satisfying to get your brothers back, to make them beg, whine, squeal, because you can. But Joseph says this, as for you, he's telling his brother, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result and to preserve many people alive. See, Joseph could have had a pity party. He could have become bitter at the situation. But he made the most of it. I mean, for you and I, do you believe that God can bring something out of evil? Because I hope so, because God has been doing it for a long time. God brought good from Joseph's brother's evil deed. He brought good out of Potiphar's wife's false accusation, the cupbearer's neglect when he interpreted the dreams. 7 years of famine, that's what happened. That's how he interpreted the dream. The experiences in Joseph's life taught him that God brings good from evil for those who trust him. Do you trust God enough to wait patiently for him to bring good out of bad situations? Can you trust him? You know, Joseph learned that God can overrule people's evil intentions to bring about into his intended results. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Two things God causes to work together for your good. Two things, okay? Okay, those who love God and called according to his purpose. purpose. It doesn't mean everything that happens to us is good. Note also that this promise is not for everybody. It can be claimed only by those who love God and are called by Him. So back to Joseph. Because he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, they were able to plan the next 14 years. So the nation of Egypt would survive a seven-year drought, and they would feed the surrounding nations. So when Joseph is reunited with his brother, he tells him straight, "You meant it for harm, but God used it to save lives." So God can't, I mean, the devil will use people or things, COVID-19, to try and destroy us. But if we love God and we're called by Him, then God can turn it around for our good. Amen? Number two, God even uses disagreements among brothers and sisters. Acts 15:36-40. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." This is called follow-up. They went through cities. They started churches. They planted churches. They equipped them. Now they're going to go back and follow up and make sure that they're on the right course. They're doing this. They're doing what is called of them. Barnabas wanted to take John, who is called Mark. John Mark. One of the few guys you think in the Bible. That's the one guy I know. Gave one last name. Huh? Thought about that. John Mark. Who else has a last name in the Bible? Mary Magdalene. And, yeah, only get a few people, like, just like, you know, Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ, yeah. So, Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, but Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So Paul said, "I ain't taking him, no way. He never helped us when we needed help." There occurred a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. So here, Paul and Barnabas, two mature Christians, sharp disagreement regarding taking John Mark along with them. I'm sure pride had something to do with it or the cause of this disagreement. But here we had two great preachers getting ready to follow up on church plans. But the devil wants to thwart their plans and causes Paul and Barnabas to have a disagreement. So what the devil meant for harm, he's thinking like, "Ha, ha, ha, I got them. They're not going to go back and follow up on the churches." What the devil meant for harm, God turned around and changed it into two ministry. Now you have Barnabas who took John Mark, Paul took Silas, and God even worked through the conflict and disagreements. And even later on in the Bible, Mark became vital to Paul's ministry. So you know that they made up some years later. You know, as Christians, we don't always agree on things. But, you know, we always have problems to solve. And we always have the devil trying to thwart our plans. But sometimes we just have to agree that to disagree and let God work His will. So what the devil meant for harm in Paul's ministry, it caused them, instead of two guys going this way, there were two guys going this way and two guys going that way. And I'm sure they covered much more territory and reached much more people doing this. So what the devil meant for harm, God caused double good. So the devil must have been like, son of a gun. He probably swore, because that's the devil, right? And he's like, I tried to destroy it. Now there's two teams. Now my work is increased twice. Now I got to attack four people instead of just two. So what the devil meant for harm, God turned around for good. Now, you can tell me, COVID-19, the devil meant for harm. He meant to destroy churches, to isolate Christians, separate them, keep us apart. Uh-oh, sorry. My phone was ringing. But what the devil has done to us to harm, to separate us, to keep us apart, to try and destroy us. Now, going back to my first point, are you going to let the devil have his way? Because the third point, what have you gained during this season? Have you gained knowledge or weight? Or both? Both. You gain knowledge and weight. Yes. And you know what? In 9 months, we're going to have corona babies. Right? Woo! Yeah. Oh. Imagine the names going to be coming out. But what have you gained during this season? Acts 4:13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Now, the religious leaders are looking at Peter and John. Hey, these guys weren't trained with us. These guys never go to seminary. They're untrained. And they were like, wow, you know what? These guys was hanging around with that Jesus guy. Uh-huh. Jesus has been crucified. He was raised. He ascended to heaven. Now the disciples is getting used to the Holy Spirit. And here's this is what the religious council observed. When you go back to work, when you go back into the marketplace, to church, will others look at you and notice that during this season, you have been with Jesus? Or are they going to see that you had a date with the refrigerator? They're going to look at you like, wow. Something's different. You're glowing. You're excited. You're happy. You're full of joy. You don't blow up anymore at me. You don't have outbursts of anger. You don't swear as much anymore. What's up with you? Where have you been? You've been hanging around Jesus? Yeah. Are people going to recognize that during this season, away from work, that you've been with Jesus? I believe that the sooner we get to the return of Jesus, the more the devil will ramp up his efforts to kill, steal, and destroy. He will take out every tool from his tool bag to take us down. Fear, doubt, disease, isolation. He will make an all-out war on us, knowing that his days are limited and his time for causing us to reject Christ is quickly running out. You and I, we can count on more attacks on our faith. So when the next one comes, don't be surprised and say, oh, not another one. Now what? What's next? What else can go wrong? Just take these seasons and find strength in the Lord. We need to make sure that our foundation is built on the right one and the right way. Matthew 24:13, Jesus said this, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. You and I, we need to endure. We need to get creative. We need to overcome. Because the devil will keep attacking us, and the closer it comes to the time of Christ's return, the more aggressive he will be. I mean, he went from little itty bitty stuff to this virus that's going around the world. So you can see he's ramping up his efforts. And we need to ramp up our efforts. We need to get in the Word, build our foundation on Christ and on him in the right way. Amen. Right. Are we going to do a postlude? Yes. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to close in prayer. For those of you who out there who never had the chance to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, now is a great time. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, send me a note on the Facebook Live feed. Say, I prayed the prayer. I really will be praying for you that you would learn to walk with the Lord. So don't forget, we will be doing church right here next week, Sunday. So we do got to sit 6 feet apart. We will start at 8:45 with some Bible trivia. So bring your electronics so you can join us, because simply raising your hand is not fair, because we've got to let the signal get out to everybody else. So we're going to all play fair. Come early so you can grab your seat. If not, you'll be sitting out there. Or if we are too full, we might just have to say, you know what? I hate to do this, but yeah, if we're too full and we can't accommodate people being 6 feet apart, then we're going to have to ask you to listen online. All right, so come early. We'll see you next week. But we're going to close with this wonderful song. God bless you all. Have a fantastic day.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kaʻau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.